93.3 FM and 91.5 FM WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, and we want to say thank you today to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. 321-749-1432, 321-749-1432. For 20 years, or over 20 years, they have been in the landscaping business. They're a family-based, licensed, and insured landscaping business here in Brevard County that offers a full array of outdoor space enhancement products, from artificial turf, carefully designed putting greens, landscaping services, paver installation, managing and installing drains and downspouts, whether you need landscape lighting, water features, or landscape repair, they can provide the design, the planting, the maintenance, everything that needs to be done to transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. And their number, once again, is 321-749-1432. Now, if you really like, you know, going and looking at products and maybe doing it yourself, they also have the Space Coast Nursery, which is at 3880 North Courtney Parkway. That's north of the Barge Canal here on Merritt Island. Monday through Friday, they are open 8 to 5. Saturday, they are open 8 to 1. And their phone number is 321-452-5565. So if you're like me and you appreciate people who know what they're doing and they can do it faster and better than you, you got Treasure Your Landscape. 321-749-1432. If you want to be more of a do-it-yourselfer, they got Space Coast Nursery. That's 321-452-5565. We want to thank them for their partnership in bringing the Refresh radio program to you here throughout the years that we've been doing this. So today we are going to be going to the Book of Psalms. We're going to be in Psalm 71. We're going to be talking today about David's education. And you may not be in an organized classroom setting, but don't ever let your education and your learning, especially about the kingdom of God, don't ever let that come to an end. And so in verse number 17, David says, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. And so you look at that, and you might think that it's talking about the things that David is going to do, you know, his mission and his life and things like that. But this portion begins, O God, you have taught me from my youth. And so God has been David's instructor. And I will tell you that you will never have a better teacher than God. Even if you want to clash with him at times, you are going to find that he is a very skilled, very patient, very intentional teacher. And life works best when we allow God to begin instructing us, teaching us, training us from our earliest days, not our latter days. We in America tend to have a philosophical error when it comes to young people right now. And that is, we have a tendency to let them go untrained in spiritual matters until life falls apart and until they find themselves in between a rock and a hard spot. And then after there's no place else to turn, then we tend to say, okay, I guess I'm going to have to turn to God. And I've through the years, I've heard of a lot of testimonies, and I celebrate the testimonies of broken, devastated lives that God puts back together and holds it together because of Jesus and what he is able to do, how he's able to reach down into a pit and pull people out of that pit and establish them for the purpose he intended for them all along. I celebrate those testimonies. But I also believe that there is a great testimony that God started teaching me when I was very young. And there's a lot of mistakes that I've avoided because I had such a good teacher. I celebrate testimonies like that as well. So here in a few weeks, my wife and I will be celebrating our anniversary, and we want to celebrate because it's because God has helped us in our marriage. And you might think, well, you're a pastor, your marriage is probably perfect. No, because I'm not the perfect husband. My wife is a fantastic wife, but she's not the perfect wife. But in our marriage, there is also a central focus of that covenant relationship, and that is, before we entered into covenant with one another, we entered into covenant with God, and God helps us through our marriage. And I will tell you that just like you can be driving down the road and God intervene to where there's an accident you don't experience, that, you know, sometimes you can have milestone moments in your life that you're celebrating because God intervened and you may not even be aware of it. And so I've looked back on some elements in my childhood, and at one point in time I kind of looked at them as, well, that's really kind of embarrassing, until one day in prayer God spoke to me and said, you don't understand what a pivotal moment in your life that was. And it wasn't something to be embarrassed about. It was something to celebrate, that God had shown himself strong on my behalf. And so David says here, oh God, you have taught me from my youth. And so I would encourage you to let that classroom instruction begin as early as possible. I've told you about my daughters, because we are a smaller church, it's such a transient area where people come and they stay for a few years and then they move on. During my daughter's high school years and one of them's middle school years, our youth group dwindled because there was a major shift. We had 40% of our congregation that moved out of the area in the course of a year, and they took their kids with them, which is a good thing, but it was a bad thing if you're trying to build a church youth group and all of that sort of stuff. And the advice that I gave my daughter when it came time to look for a college was, Now, you could be looking for a school with tremendous academics, and that will probably, you know, be a door-opening experience for you if you're looking for that. But work is only one-third of your life, you know, on average. If you work 40 hours a week, that's 25% of your week as far as the number of hours in a seven-day period of time. I said that leaves you two-thirds or 75% of your life that is outside of work, and that area of life includes your spiritual and your relational aspects of life. And so I would just encourage you to consider this other school, which was more expensive, but had a better spiritual foundation. Said, I'm not telling you what to do. There was actually a third option that was on the table. I mean, those weren't the only two schools that she looked at, but there were other options that were available, and some of those options would have been options that I would have chosen. But that wasn't my decision to make. My job was to teach her what to consider when she was looking, and when she saw the ungodly environment of the one that had academic excellence in the field she was looking at, when she saw the spiritual atmosphere and the culture that was there, she was very uncomfortable with that and said, I mean, 15 minutes into the visit, can we leave now? And I said, let's finish out the tour. And so what she thought she wanted before she went on the trip, she found out she didn't want once she got on it. And so that's one of those statements that we shared with our kids. You may not always want what you think that you want, because it comes with consequences and a price tag that may not be all that beneficial. And so God here was the teacher, and we need to really focus on young people, teaching them from their very youngest age. We need to teach them that they are not an accident, that they're not a science experiment that just took a turn and they just, you know, humanity just happened to come, because that is a recipe for a meaningless life. Instead, we need to share with them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God knit them together in their mother's womb and has created them on purpose for his purpose. And before he ever formed the earth, he formed a purpose for them, so that there's a reason that they are here on planet Earth. And so when you know that you are, in spite of the fact that this world has rejected God and turned away from God, and we live in a fallen world now, God still has a perfect plan for you and I. That doesn't mean that we are perfect, but it means that there's a plan, there's a purpose, and that God works all things together for the good of those that love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. And so when you know that you have been fearfully and wonderfully made, that God is a hands-on God in your life, that you can come boldly before his throne and find help in the time of need, that there's a reason that you are here, then all of a sudden, the meaningless of life has been replaced with the purpose of life, and the deception that would cause people to think, I'm a mistake, and therefore I should just get out of the way. All of a sudden, then they're not so interested in ending their life, but instead, adjusting to the twists and the turns that life has to offer. And then they're going to fulfill their purpose. They won't look at their feelings as much as they will. They look at their faith. And so David had been in class from his youth, and that means that it's been a continual process. It says in verse number 18, now also when I am old and gray-headed. So, O God, you have taught me from my youth. Now also when I am old and gray-headed. O God, do not forsake me. And so, while I've talked a little bit about the younger demographic, I will also tell you that God still wants to teach those of us whose hair has gone from towhead blonde, which was what mine was when I was born, very, very blonde, natural blonde. It migrated from that to dishwater blonde. It migrated from that to executive blonde, which looks an awful lot like gray. And so there are still things for you and I to learn. I pray that when you go through your Bible and you are reading it for your devotional journey, that you won't just look at it and say, oh, yeah, I read that. I know that. Uh-huh. Got that. Yeah. I pray that you will approach it with eagerness and expectation. God, what do you want to teach me today? I remember hearing when I was much younger about two people who had pastored churches. One of them had pastored one church for a set period of time. We'll say 15 years. One guy had pastored the same church for 15 years. And the other guy said, well, I've been a pastor for 15 years as well. And the gentleman said, no, you pastored five different churches for 3 years. But he was just basically on a three-year cycle. And so let me tell you that there is a drive inside of me, not just to share the same sermons, but to share what God has prepared in his divine kitchen, if you will, something that is fresh out of heaven's oven for the people who are there on that particular day. So, contrary to the statement that the world has that you can't teach an old dog new tricks, it's never too late to begin to learn to do life the way that God wants it done. So David says that God has been teaching him, he's been teaching him from his youth, that he's now being taught when he's gray-headed. He's learned the faithfulness of God. Oh God, do not forsake me. And then he has learned his purpose. Listen, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. So, that's a big responsibility. David could have been saying that, look, I'm the king, that's going to be left to somebody else to do, but he had a different mindset. One of the last things that he did before he was promoted into eternity was he admonished his son Solomon on how to have a successful journey on the throne. He made preparation for Solomon as far as the construction of the temple was concerned. And a lot of times we can pass on information, but that's not really what David describes here. He said, I have a message that I need to share with the people of my generation, and that is the strength of God. So this year, my sermons have been focusing on the dunamis of God, the power of God. And so if you are measuring power of automobiles, they measure that in horsepower. You're looking at other elements like, you know, lights. They measure the production and watts and things like that. And then, you know, you can look at explosives, and I think those things are measured in megatons, if I'm not mistaken. You can go to distance, and they're measured in light years on a cosmic scale and things like that, which I think is around 187,000 miles a second. But David said, I have a message about God's strength that I want to declare to this generation. And this is what I will tell you. There is no scale when you measure God's strength, because he is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. There is no weakness. I remember when I was I was taking a class on American literature, and they were describing this, trying to create this perfect vehicle. This is old-time American literature. And they tried to make something that was so formidable that it would never fall apart. But there was a flaw in the design. There is no flaw in God. And so when you are learning not just information, but you are learning about the nature of God, where he is all-powerful, where he is omnipotent, that gives you the perspective that whether you're facing a lion, whether you're facing a bear, whether you're facing a giant, whether you are facing an army that has you outnumbered, whether you are facing a king who is backslidden, who's looking now upon you as the enemy, that you will be able to declare that there is no situation that I have ever faced that the problem had more strength or more power than God did. This generation needs to know about God's power, not just from a verbal standpoint, but they need that message communicated from people who've been through some stuff, who've been through some battles, and that God has come through on each and every time. Until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. And so David had been taught by God from his youth. He continued to teach the people, even though his hair had changed color. He continued to proclaim to the generation that he was serving, whether they were his age, whether they were older, whether they were middle age, whether they were younger and just coming up, or whether they were grandkids that were crawling around the throne there. He said, I'm going to teach them the strength of God. I believe that we need to realize that God has not retired. His skills have not diminished. And everyone should hear about the goodness of God. They need to hear about the greatness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. But don't forget his power and his strength, because it is off the scale. And it is not just something that is kept in reserve. It's what he wants to empower you and I with. And so when he says in Acts chapter 1, let me turn over there. In Acts chapter 1, in verse number 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power," that's the dunamis, "when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So when we look at that, we can see that God has this unlimited resource of power, and he wants to put it to use in the body of believers. So whenever I have talked about the dunamis of God historically, I have talked about when the guy who invented dynamite was looking for a word to describe the invention that he had made. He went to the Greek and he found the word dunamis, the power of God, and he said that is the closest thing that can describe this, the potential power release of dynamite. So he called it dynamite because of the connection with how powerful it was. A little over a year ago, a friend of mine was preaching at our church. His name's Danny Duvall. I think it was August when he was preaching with us. And he said in the realm of physics that there is a measurement that's called a dyne, that is the amount of force that is necessary to move 1 gram, 1 centimeter, or 1 millimeter. And he said that word dyne is tied in with the word dunamis. And so I will tell you, whether God is teaching you and teaching this generation to move forward in giant steps, or whether it is moving forward in micro steps, don't second guess the teacher. Just continue to move forward in the power of God. The people that know their God shall do great exploits. Not because of how great we are, but because of how great, how powerful, and how strong God is. He wants to put that power and strength to his glory, to his use, for his purpose here in America and around the world in 2024. May the God of all power operate in your life. You have a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow right here
on
Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Waylon specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Waylon Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit waylonduff.kw.com. Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.